Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute.
That's cute.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's my motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies.
Okay, this is like the most highly anticipated episode of the year because we have had so many technical difficulties to get to this point. So I am thrilled that this episode is happening right now. Also because we have been talking so much about perfume and fragrance, like it is truly having, this category is having the year of this category. Like, I feel like everyone is talking about it, whether it's because Gen Z is obsessed with fragrance or it's because, you know, all these beauty brands are now coming out with fragrances themselves. But we haven't had very many perfume experts on the pod. So we are so, so happy and excited to welcome Malaika Jones. She is Brown Girl Jane's CEO and one of the co-founders. So welcome to Los Angeles.
Thank you. This is highly anticipated by me as well. So I'm so happy to be on just one of my favorites. So thank you for having me.
You are the best. We are so, so happy.
Okay, Malaika, before we get into all of the fragrance combo, what's on your face? Tell us what you're loving right now.
Oh, I love that question. So I love Edam for skincare. I use their Milky Serum. I use their Cloud Cushion. And my skin just loves drinking it up. It's super moisturizing, but also gentle. And I'm a less is more sort of girl in terms of concealers and foundations and that sort of thing. But I swear Danessa Myricks can do no wrong, both as a human being and her products. So that's like the best combination I think anyone could ask for. But her blurring powder is just amazing and the filter we all need when we're on all of these Zooms or in real life. And so I just love everything she does. I love her Bellini blush. I mean, I'm a blush girl. So I love like the pops of color. She just gets color so right. She gets everything right. And another one who always gets everything right in my book is Pat McGrath. I use her eyeliner, which I always say, like, if you see me without a wing, like, check for a pulse because there is something wrong. Like, the winged eyeliner is forever my thing. And so her felt tip eyeliner is just super black and glides on effortlessly. And what else? I love the Tarte. Is it the Shape Tape or the Glow? It's the one you stamp into your skin for a little color and contour. And that's like a nice beachy contour because I don't love like the harsh one. It's nice and soft. And on lips, I love Tower 28, their jelly gloss, which I think is just the best texture, not too sticky. And I have a teenager at home. So like, you know, the lip gloss are always rotating throughout. And we're Tower 28 fans over here.
Oh my gosh.
It's wild that you have a teenager, first and
Seriously.
Foremost, because I'm like, how is that even physically possible?
I have two.
You have two teenagers?
I have two teenagers and a 9-year-old.
Stop.
And it's so funny because I was like, oh, they're the, I'm going to get it wrong, but the glam bambinos, you guys coined something during the awards. And I was like, yeah, those are my kids. Those are my kids. They're up in Sephora.
Wait, what are they into? What's on their face?
So the 9-year-old is super into skincare, and we've had the no actives talk because she, you know, wanted anything with a bright colored top and made in a mini size. So she just enjoys really pillowy skincare. It's funny because you realize how much of it is just tied to ritual. And I do love seeing that the self-care is starting early. They also don't need any BHAs, but the self-care portion is really cool to see. And my daughter, you know, she's also a wing girl. So she's rotating through. And she found out about Sephora more recently after I got into beauty and was like, oh, wait, I think there's like a little bit of a difference between this and the drugstore stuff. And went into Sephora with like a $20 bill. And she called me. She's like, I had to use your Apple Pay because I had $20. You know, I thought it would cover everything, but it was $160.
So, you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's different. It's different over here. They just
wow.
enjoy the play of rotating through everything. And then I have a son in the middle who is 14. So he's not super into beauty, but he does love a good hair routine. So he wants to make sure his curls are always juicy and popping.
What products does he like to use?
Oh, yeah. No, he has favorites. He uses Miss Jessie's. They have a pillow curl and multicultural curl that he loves. And, you know, it's the new thing. They're like combing their hair down like bangs and it's curly yeah. all over. And so it's super cute, but he's very intentional about those coils. So it's funny. It's funny to watch.
Oh, they must think you're the coolest. Like my mom's in Sephora.
Well, we're working on that part. Yeah, we're working. We're working on that part, but you know, they think I'm okay. They think I'm okay. And they certainly are the best focus group because they are very quick to tell me if I'm being cringe or, you know,
yes.
too millennial or any of the things. So it's a nice.
Let us be millennial. Let us
I know.
Be millennial.
Right.
Like everyone is obsessed with Taylor Swift and Beyonce. I hate to break it to everyone. They're millennials. Okay. So we're doing something. Okay.
I'm like, listen, we are all the same age. Like all these people you're into, we're the same age.
We are the same age.
Okay. Maybe on paper.
Yeah. They're like, one of these things is not like the other. No, I love that you brought this up about your 9-year-old because I know there obviously are some things that we need to make sure that the small children are not utilizing and doing to their skin, obviously. But I believe Sarah as well, when I would read Allure magazine and try to get intel on how Hillary Duff took care of her skin or whatever it was back in the day, and then developed a routine, I feel like it really did help me with a lot of things. It helped keep me organized. It kept me consistent. It kept me diligent. Like it kind of like crossed over into other elements of my life. And I feel like that's not a bad thing for young kids to be learning. Like, oh, before you go to bed, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you do all these little things to take care of yourself. And then, you know, in the morning you figure it out again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, I think it just boils down to self-care. and you know, it's, if it's in expression. And so it's nice to see kids play with things, you know, that's not, you know, piece of technology. So to be layering on the creams or figuring out, you know, the best routine for them or taking that extra moment, I agree. I think it's a good thing when it's used properly. And it's also just kind of funny to watch because, you know, a 9-year-old with 5 steps or 6 steps on the skin. And I'm like, okay, it's very cute. It's very cute.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, let's talk about Brown Girl Jane. And something that I think really sets you guys apart from other perfume brands, other beauty brands that are launching perfumes, is that you make scents that are more than just intending to make you smell good. There is like meaning and thought and intention behind your fragrances. You talk a lot about using clinical studies that are around neuroscientific links between the scent and mood to create your scents. Can you share some of these key findings from these studies that helped, you know, inform the fragrances that you made?
Sure, of course. So in terms of the clinical studies, it's really about how our olfactory system is connected to the brain's limbic system, which is where all of our memories and our emotions are stored. So certain scent notes literally stimulate feel-good hormones or promote alert focus within moments. And so what we did was partner with, you know, a perfumer with decades and decades of experience. And so we were able to leverage these clinical studies, which were taken over the course of 25 years. And they basically measure brain activity, you know, when different scent profiles are exposed to the participants. So what does the brain do when you smell this combination of scents? Like, how does it make you feel? Because what I didn't know was how traditional, to your point earlier, fragrance is as a category in beauty. I mean, it's really dominated by the big fragrance houses. Not much has changed. And again, it's always for other people to experience. And so because wellness was so important and is so important to us as a brand and as a community, we wanted to figure out how to leverage this amazing potential within scent. And it was like, oh my God, this is our strongest and most intense of all 5 senses, most directly correlated to emotion and feeling. And we're not using it like this. You know, we're using it just, you know, to smell beautifully, which is important. And, you know, we are lucky to win the beauty awards based on how it just smells. But I'm like, if you can spray on a feeling, if you can change in a second, you know, your mood, whether you need to be more relaxed or you want to feel even more romantic, like how amazing is it to be able to harness that more intentionally while also creating a brand that I think is disruptive and trying to innovate in other ways?
Yeah. And Brown Girl Jane started out as like a wellness self-care company. So
yes.
I feel like it is really cool that when you did make that pivot to focus specifically on fragrances, that it was still rooted in that wellness and self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the intersection of beauty and wellness was always our jam, and we always wanted to figure out different ways to approach it, different ways to make it a ritual, because honestly, wellness can be kind of hard. I mean, I'm just speaking as, you know, a working mom of 3, and, you know, my co-founder is doing all of the things across the world. And my other co-founder is my biological sister, and she has 3 kids under 6. And so it's like, as much as I love Pilates, I love a good hike for my LA girls, but it's like, I also need to spray on something sometimes just to make me feel good as well. And so I'm like, how can we make it more integrated, a little easier, but still beautiful and luxurious? And, you know, quite frankly, like fun to experience, because it also shouldn't always be so serious. I think a lot of people are like approaching fragrance like this precious category, and they just, you know, believe the one with the most expensive dollar price is the best and those sorts of things. It just really hasn't been shaken up in a long time. And so we had a lot to tackle.
Malaika, when did Brown Girl Jane pivot from wellness to fragrance?
So it was more of a double down than a pivot, because we introduced fragrance maybe a year after we launched. And so what we realized also is that for a new brand, we really needed to focus and concentrate and tell one story. And so we had different verticals within the brand at launch, and they all did really well. But with this fragrance aha moment that we had and wanting to put forth a different way to experience scent, we just decided that we needed to double down. And that was about almost 2 years ago.
So I ask because I find it, I feel like you need to go buy a lottery ticket or something, because you guys decided to double down on this before TikTok really took off with this fragrance space. I mean, I am looking through my email right now, and there is a newsletter from Business of Fashion that says Lightning in a Bottle, Tapping into the Niche Fragrance Boom. And it's talking about what these niche fragrances need to do to be exciting to investors, but then also maintain this sense of like being niche. And you and your business partners, you know, co-founders really capitalized on the emotion of scent and being able to like evoke this feeling when you're smelling a fragrance. And it just seems, I mean, literally y'all started doing it.
And it kind of worked.
Yeah. And literally this is literally everybody's thing now, which is so fascinating to me. And like, it could be argued, sure, of course, like when you smell a fragrance, it's going to remind you of something in your life or a memory that you have. But how did you feel when you started to see, oh, wait, okay, so we believed in this, we felt we needed to focus on it, and now a lot of other things are falling into place where this is actually going to be something that people want to learn more about?
So honestly, as a brand and as, you know, CEO, I try to focus mostly on the needs of people. And we saw, you know, with BGJ and what was happening, at the time we were still in the midst of COVID, we needed an escape. And then also learning about the neuroscientific effects of fragrance. But it led us there because we were so laser focused on the community need versus product. And so I think what we're now seeing is, of course, people jumping on the product, which is amazing. But the way it came to us was we saw an opportunity just for making people feel good in different ways. And so it was really organic. And I think that, you know, as a business leader, that hasn't ever served me poorly. Just focusing on like, what is the need of the consumer? What is the need of our tribe? And then I think it'll put you a little bit ahead of the curve versus chasing trends.
100%.
And it may not always work, but it did work this time.
Totally. So Brown Girl Jane has this collection of fragrances called Dawn, Dusk, and Dare. They're scents that are meant to take the customer through every part of their day from sunup to sundown. Dusk has calming properties and is meant to be worn to bed.
I just wanted to add that, again, being ahead of the curve, this wearing perfume to bed is obviously not like something new, but TikTok has discovered it recently and that everyone is doing it. So again, always ahead.
Hey, listen, I'll take it. I'm going to put it out there in the universe that we stay ahead. It's interesting because we approached it from taking you day through night and then after hours with that sexy cherry leather dare. And so if you think about the day and the way that scent can, you know, help you or enhance your experience throughout the day, it doesn't stop when you're leaving the house, or it doesn't start when you're leaving the house. It's an all day thing. And again, you know, our whole brand is about you first, right? And so if it's about you, then you're wearing this all the time. The same way that, you know, honestly, I put on my lip gloss when I'm at home because I'm like, I feel better when I have it on somehow. And it's the same with fragrance. And so we wanted to also introduce that idea that this is for you to experience first. And again, it's cool because it can help you relax, which is something that I was always, especially, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm like, I'm tired as hell. Why can't I go to sleep? And so there's, you know, that weird thing of like just moving throughout the day and then expecting that you can just turn it off, but your brain is still going, your body is still going. And so wanting to just really inject those beautiful moments that can help you transition to sleep or, you know, romance or whatever's happening at night, we have something for you in the form of a scent.
So I did the Find Your Scent on your website, which is extremely helpful. And it is based kind of on what you want to evoke, what you want to put out in the world, things that you gravitate towards. And I ended up with Dare, the cherry stiletto.
Okay. That totally makes so much sense.
And then Lamu. Does it?
Yes.
Why? Why do you think that? Tell me.
Because Dare is one of my favorites. To me, it's like cherry done right, because cherry can be medicinal, but it's balanced with this beautiful leather cord that is still feminine. And it's sort of edgy. And so I see you, Kirby, as a Dare girl with a little, you know, pizzazz and
edgy. Oh my God, never been called edgy ever. Love it.
Well, it looks sweet with the Britney shirt, but yeah, I also have the other side of me with that little Italian leather for a late night. So that's what it's giving.
I just want to say that I got Lamu. So that's solar lemon and white floral, and it transports you to barefoot tranquility. The sun casting its golden glow upon Kenyan turquoise waters. Okay, I need this in my life immediately.
That was my other one.
Oh,
was it? That was my other one. Mm-hmm.
I love it. You know, because...
Oh my gosh, wait, that was my... Oh my God, Kirby, my other one is Dare. We're like flipped.
That's right.
I was going to say, you perfectly matched.
We were complimentary.
Hold up your hand like a heart. That's us. We're trying.
That is so cute. The Dare Lamu crew.
Tell us more about Lamu. Tell us more.
So Lamu, it's the sophisticated beach scent. It's not giving suntan lotion, which is what I did not want. Like you're on vacation, but you're not necessarily sitting in the sand. You're on a yacht. And so that's where you get the
yes, bergamot
and the Italian lemon. And it's sparkling.
That's extremely on brand.
Exactly. I mean, I'm all about the yachts that I'm not on, right? So I'm like, if I can spray on the feeling, then that's what I'm going to do. But it's really juicy and really sparkling. And, you know, it's a great, fresh, you know, citrus scent that's not overwhelming, but super sophisticated.
I need that. Yeah.
I love the term juicy when describing a fragrance. I love it. It tickles something for me.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite word, because actually our new launch exclusive with Sephora, that is the number one word for it. It's juicy. It's so juicy. Ooh. And fun and a little creamy. So, oh yeah, no, it's so actually it's live today. So the preview, yeah, as we keep hitting these milestones with our chats, it was International Fragrance Day in the Today Show. And now it's the preview day at Sephora. You guys know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But yes, we went live. We went live with Sephora today with our preview. And so that is where our new scent is also debuting. And it is just juicy, fun revelry over there.
Wait, tell us about it, because now you've teased it. We need to know.
Yes. So it's inspired by Caribbean Carnival. So we actually, you know, went to Trinidad and shot the campaign. But it is the juiciest mango, fruity floral. But it's also balanced with, you know, amber and vanilla and a little sandalwood. So it's not, I don't want to say pedestrian, but it's, you know, it's not like the body spray sort of feeling. This is like the grown sexy juiciness that takes you to that best party that you've ever been in. And, you know, it features Julie mangoes, which are a mango that's native to the Caribbean, like just super sweet and dripping. And so it has that feeling of joy, quite frankly, and like a party. And so this one was especially fun to create.
So is this is
Carnival. And I didn't say it. Yeah. And it's Carnival. Yeah.
and is this the first time you'll be at Sephora?
Yep.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It is, it's an historic day for us, because also, you know, outside of celebrity brand, first Black woman founded fragrance brand. Like I can't underscore how traditional this category has been. And so it's historic for us. And we, you know, look forward to sort of shaping that category and helping diversify what fragrance can be and what it looks like and how it makes you feel. So we're super excited. We're over the moon.
We were talking about at the top of the episode, Gen Z's impact on the fragrance category. And then all your children are what? Gen Alpha? Are they Gen Alpha?
I have both. I have 9, 14, and 16. So I, you know, we have lots of categories over here.
Okay. So I am like predicting that Gen Alpha is going to be like also like Gen Z. We're like obsessed with fragrance category, yeah, as well. There's this stat that said consumers aged 13 through 26 rank highest when it comes to heavy usage or wearing fragrance at least 3 times a week and are more engaged with the category than millennials. They're also more likely to purchase fragrance for themselves multiple times a year, like wearing fragrance for themselves versus others, which I think is really, really cool. And then they're also like more likely to buy it, you know, based off of TikTok and to shopping online without even smelling the perfume. Why do you think all of a sudden this younger generation is so obsessed with perfume?
You know, I think they crave authentic self-expression and they also take comfort in ritual, particularly after COVID. And I think fragrance touches both of those needs. I think it, you know, provides that identity exploration through scent wardrobes. You talked about, like, you know, using different scents and layering, and, you know, they're very in tune with their needs and their self-care. And I think it also resonates with their values, just in terms of, again, that self-care moment, that ability to self-express and, you know, show up in every way. So it's not only about appearance, it's about smell, it's about feel. And so fragrance uniquely like touches a lot of those, I think, trigger points for Zalfas in a very unique way.
I love that. Zalfas. Yes. Okay.
Never heard of that.
I love a new demo term. I'm obsessed with demographic information.
All the Zalfas.
In terms of trends, I feel like you probably don't like trends, as any brand founder would also say, because you're not really getting anywhere when you're just following trends. I feel like most brands that follow trends are like dupe brands, which, you know, whatever, that's their thing and they can do that. But in terms of fragrances, are we going to see more of a particular scent profile this year or even formulations? We know that body mists are back with a vengeance. I mean, I'm just thinking about Love Spell from Victoria's Secret. Yeah. I truly still have a bottle of it. It's so old. I should go get it replaced. But that was my signature scent growing up before I graduated to Britney Spears. Curious.
It was all of our signature scents. Like, it was ubiquitous across culture.
100%. So what do you think that we're going to see more of? You know, maybe not in terms of like what the Zalfas or, you know, Gen Z is necessarily picking up, but maybe just in terms of like the industry overall.
I think in the industry overall, I think we're going to see probably more multi-sensory elements. You know, I think people are paying attention to, you know, soup to nuts now in terms of how it makes you feel. So everything from the packaging to, you know, what the juice looks like, or what kind of musical pairings you use with certain scents. But I think we're going to go on that journey with people. That's certainly something that we're very focused on. And to your point around mists, I think, you know, portable formulas are going to continue to rise because, again, it's not just something for your vanity that sits there and lives like a relic on a shelf, even if you do still have your Love Spell. But, you know, it's meant to live with you and move with you. And so I think different formats that help introduce fragrance throughout your day, and you can throw it in your purse or keep it in your car, are going to be a trend that I see as well. And I also think this, you know, the love of the gourmand fragrances continues. I'm a gourmand girly. But again, I think it goes back to that feeling of comfort and coziness and all of those elements wrapped into a little bottle. So I expect that gourmand trend to continue for some time too.
Is Brown Girl Jane going to go into body care soon, eventually? Because I feel like we need to have some like body lotions,
yes,
body washes to complement these fragrances.
Yes. Listen, we're all about the layering experience. So we want you to have a full fragrance bubble everywhere you go. So yeah, there are a lot of fun things on the horizon. For sure.
Malaika, I have an additional question. I'm curious, as a fragrance founder, what is the hardest thing that fragrance founders are up against right now, like in your business or within your brand? What are some things that you guys are trying to either overcome or had to overcome to get, you know, get out into the world?
So how much time do we have? No, it's tough. I mean, a number of things are tough. And so, you know, we're grateful that we've been able to break through some of them, but it's a journey. It's tough to sell scent virtually. And so we are in, you know, all of the department stores now and online, but certainly during COVID and when people are buying online, it's like, how well can you tell that story through all the other elements? Because a lot of people are just buying these based on our words, quite frankly, or our visuals or the reviews. And so telling that effectively when you can't have a before and after like you can with a lipstick or some other categories in beauty are tough. I think it's tough just how traditional the category is. And you realize that, you know, once we break into Sephora, like we've broken into Sephora, we're sitting on the shelf next to Dior and every, you know, these are huge brands and there may only be 10. And so it is a category where people historically have experimented a little less. And so I'm super excited about this moment in niche fragrance history where people are expanding that view and, you know, buying what speaks to them and their needs. And I guess lastly, I'd say it's tough as a Black and Brown founder. You know, we make products for everyone. And I think sometimes the assumption is that our products are not for everyone in a way that, you know, if we're all, you know, obsessing over French pharmacy products, like there's no part of me that's like, oh my God, like, can I buy that? But there is a hesitancy. And so we have to underscore that messaging a lot, which I think is a uniquely specific issue for Black founders, whether they're, you know, selling color cosmetics or fragrance or anything, quite frankly. And so that's another thing that is just incumbent on us and incumbent on people who love the community that, hey, jump in and try it. Brown Girl Jane is telling different stories and widening what fragrance has looked like, but it's a product that everyone should use and could use and I think will love.
No, absolutely.
I'm curious, how hard was it to nail down the final bottle design? Because to your point, people are purchasing based off words and then maybe what they want to present to the world when they're showing their vanities or like spritzing themselves. How did y'all decide that this was the brand you wanted to put out into the world?
Which, by the way, the branding is so chic. It's really, really beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, it's like I wanted every portion of the brand to transport you. And so, you know, our bottle is this blush pink and it feels really soft and it's curved, which reminds me of a woman's body. And so it's like I want it to feel soft in your hand, not like super hard like some of the perfume bottles that I, you know, own and love, but that it didn't want it to have those sharp lines. I wanted it to feel like it was comfortable to use and something that just felt uniquely yours. And so that's really how we came up with the design and wanting to also settle on one color, right? Quite frankly, because we're the Brown Girl Jane blush girls. Everything is, all of our bottles are blush. And again, I think it just speaks to, you know, it being for you and it being something that, you know, like each scent is different, but there is a uniformity and there's like a sisterhood even with the bottles. And that's important. And that's, you know, one of those background stories around design.
So in 2020, when you guys launched in 2020 initially, right?
Yes, right before COVID.
So, I mean, that's a whole nother story we could talk
about.
That's
a whole nother story.
Yeah. How challenging that was. But something that you guys did when you launched was you created Brown Girl Swap, which was this initiative that challenged everyone to replace at least 5 of their products with brands owned by Black women. You guys took that a step further. You partnered with Shea Moisture and you've awarded, this is on your website, you've awarded over $500,000 in grants to Black women entrepreneurs, which is incredible. We're curious how you feel about the state of diversity in the beauty industry, or even the fragrance category 4 years later. Like, how far have we come? Or unfortunately, how much more do we have to go?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of opportunity. I mean, I think one of the positive things is the awareness I think, you know, when you talk about stats like Black women not receiving venture capital, you know, less than 0.06% and things like that, that I don't think people were just keenly aware of. And so taking those conversations to the forefront and figuring out ways, which was what we did with the Brown Girl Swap, like easy ways for all of us to be involved, because sometimes, you know, you think of community involvement or activism or whatever you want to call it as something that looks one way. And it could also just be like, I'm going to diversify my beauty cabinet. I'm going to make sure that, you know, the products that I have reflect the values that I hold. And so that was the impetus. And we were really grateful that we were able to grow that into something that also put money in the hands and mentorship in the hands of other Black founders, because, you know, it's only so good to celebrate these wins singularly. I mean, it's like you two. It's, you know, it's like, it's cool if it's just me, I guess, but not really. I want my sisters involved. I want my community involved. Like, that's true success. And so being able to lift as we climb, even as a smaller brand, has been really amazing. You know, there's a lot of work to do. You know, I think the state of venture capital has reverted, and a lot of the companies and brands that have made initial commitments have backed off and moved on to the next thing. And it's no less an issue. It's no less a problem. But, you know, we're grateful to also, you know, work with brands and retailers that share our ethos, and to just, you know, do our part to wherever we sit at making it better. So there's definitely some positives, but certainly a long way to go where the beauty industry is more reflective of those who consume it, quite frankly.
Malaika, we didn't even ask you, how do you apply fragrance? What's your fragrance routine?
I just keep spraying and just spray. No, I love the fragrance cloud that you get when someone passes, where it's not super overwhelming, but it just sort of trails in the air. So I love, our fragrances are clean at Sephora. And so I just spray a little in my hair, or I spray it in my hair brush and then go, you know, run it through my hair. And I just find that when I pass people, it's like, oh my gosh, what is that? But it's not knocking you out. I also love to layer. I mean, I think anywhere where people talk about pulse points and all of that is amazing, it's really exposed skin. So, you know, spray it where you're exposed. And if you talk a lot with your hands like I do, then your wrist is great if you want to expose it to the world. But I'm always like, whether it's exposed on, you know, my legs or on my shoulders, like I'll spray a little there. And I also just love to layer, because then you're never smelling quite like anyone else. I mean, no one is going to smell exactly the same anyway, but you can make your own concoction, quite frankly. And all of our fragrances are made to layer, because, you know, I feel like we're layered. And, you know, sometimes I want to feel sexy, but, you know, also a little at peace. So I'll mix, you know, Dare and Bahia or whatever it is. And so it's like a fun, creative process that you can have for yourself, and a new ritual where you're not just always grabbing the same bottle or, you know, spraying in the same way.
Is there like a scent you think your kids will remember you for? Or like, how do you think your kids will remember your smell?
That's such a good question. That's such a good question.
Or how do you want them to remember you? So I'm sure that, you know, like you said, you're wearing different things all the time, but is it more sweet most days or?
Yeah, I think it's funny that you ask that, because we have a scent called Casablanca that is like an elevated marshmallow, but it also has soft suede and incense. And so it has this little, you know, almost smoky finish. And when my kids smell that, they're like, mom was here. And whether I wore it or not, because it's really cozy and it's actually made for love. And so the fact that they identify me with that, which I had not thought about in that way until you asked. So thank you. But I think that the scent is love, and it's like, what, you know, what does a hug feel like, or what does, you know, a cozy embrace feel like? And depending on who you're talking to, it can be cozy with your kids or cozy in another way. But it's certainly a loving fragrance. And I think that's how they would describe me when I'm not being cringe, you know, for this alphas.
No. All right, Malaika, what are three things you would not do or not suggest to other beauty founders as a beauty founder?
Okay, as a beauty founder, I would not, particularly of a niche brand, when you're starting out, do not follow trends. You will not win. I think that your uniqueness is your super value, and your perspective is what's missing on the market, not someone else's. So sometimes you have to put those blinders on and really follow your own North Star, particularly as a small brand. I would not do it alone. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a co-founder, but you have to have a tribe. You have to have support, because this is insane. Like, building a business and entrepreneurship, you know, against the backdrop of life. And, you know, one thing that I was a bond trader before this, and I was really good at one thing. And I realized, you know, when you start a business, you got to be kind of above average at almost everything within the brand, from marketing to finance to supply chain. And you can't do it alone. And as someone who has that tendency, it's also great to be supported by my sisters and my community and people who just want to see us win in different ways. Another, I would say you have to pay yourself. you have to figure out ways to pay yourself, because, you know, we're so passionate about the work, and you will give everything. I mean, I know I've, you know, sacrificed a lot, and it's your baby. And sometimes that leads, you know, particularly women co-founders, to forget that part of, like, survival. You still have to make this a business. You still have to figure out how it's going to work, and that you're not so financially stressed that you can't do your best work. And I think that that's a tough part for a lot of founders who start out. So, you know, whether it's a little bit and it builds up, but just get in the habit of even, you know, just rewarding yourself, because you're pouring yourself into these products and these businesses.
Oh, that was so important. I don't think anyone's ever said that, and I feel like it's so important to hear. So thank you for that. Malaika, thank you so much for your time. This was incredible. Where can we find you, and where can we support Brown Girl Jane online or in store, wherever? Where can we support?
Where are we? We're outside. We're online at browngirljane.com. We're also at Sephora, which is a huge deal. So head over to Sephora and leave a review and buy something. I'm sure you're going to find something you like. And we're also at department stores, Saks, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, and Nordstrom.
Amazing. And where can we follow?
It's Brown Girl Jane on Instagram, Brown Girl Jane on TikTok. And, you know, follow anywhere you smell something good, you'll probably be led towards Brown Girl Jane. If you smell that beautiful scent trail, then Brown Girl Jane is behind it and waiting for you.
All right, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back on Tuesday with the week's most buzzy beauty news.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.